Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds, and we pray choices, blessings, peace upon the last, peace upon the last messenger of God, Muhammad. Upon him be peace, upon his descendants, his companions, the righteous all, and upon us, peace. We give thanks to the one and only Lord and Creator, we give thanks, wa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. We give thanks and praise to the one Lord and Creator for blessing us again together for his cause here in Dallas, Texas. And we also thank him for blessing us with people in Dallas like Imam Yahya Abdullah and his colleagues who cooperate in the work with him, and his friends in the outer community for this opportunity to address you today here in Dallas, Texas. I have been, as you know, that is a Muslim following, you know, I've been addressing you on the subject of sacred life connections. The theme that has been chosen for the workshops and for this address here today fits perfectly within that general topic that I have been addressing. That is sacred life connections. Family, community family life is a sacred life connection. To keep that life constituted as our Lord Creator intended for it to be constituted is a sacred duty. To hold to the identity that God intended for us as individuals and as groups is a sacred duty. When we lose the identity that Allah intended for us, we begin to lose the way that God intended for us to be constituted, the way he intended for us to be made up inside as well as outside. Our religion, Al-Islam, focus on family. And Allah Most High, that is God Almighty, the Lord Creator, says in our holy book, the Quran, family obligations have a priority. Family obligations are given priority. My obligation to my wife, to my children, to my father, to my mother, to my grandparents, to the aging people in my family and the young in my family, is a duty that God has focused the revelation on and has told us that before him, family ties have a priority. Family ties are given priority. I have a right as an individual to benefit from a good family, family circumstances, a good family situation. And I have an obligation as an individual to support good family life, to be a contributor, to contribute to the well-being and excellence of family life and society. In our religion has an obligation to work for the same, to respect the same and work for the same. We understand that in America, this is the land of freedom and opportunity. It is the land of the great experiment with freedom. So here in this country, not only are the good people free, but the bad people are also free. And sometimes it seems that the bad people have more freedom than the good people. More freedom to progress, more freedom to advance their aims, their ends, more freedom to pursue their goals that are criminal than the good people have to pursue their goals that are legal and that are honorable, that are approved by God. It appears to be that way, and I used to feel very bad about the situation in America when I thought about this special kind of freedom that we have as Americans here. And for years, I was burdened with a great burden, and I said, well, what is this? Is this the devil, this hell? Is this a hell? Is this hell, or is this an opportunity for humanity to survive? And I couldn't say there was no opportunity for humanity here, because I have survived as an American and as a human being here, you see. So I couldn't say there's no opportunity, but it was confusing to me. And the more I thought about it, the more I had to rely upon the Holy Book, upon the Word of God, upon the Quran, the teachings of my religion, for an answer. And I came to the conclusion that this is just an opportunity. America just gives you an opportunity. And all of us have an opportunity. And the problem for us is not to be blamed on America or on this special kind of freedom that we have in America. The problem for us is to be blamed on ourselves. We have an opportunity to compete. America gives us a special situation for competition. And never think that you're going to be helped always. In America, you are helped in seasons. And a season comes when you're not helped anymore. You're left on your own. So don't depend on anybody in America, religious people, government people, to help you always. Nobody in America is going to help you always unless they are following the Word of God. And I mean accepting the Word of God over the Word of man, and obeying the will of God over the will of man. Now, if you don't have anybody like that with you, then don't expect to be helped always. Help here in America is seasonal. Now, you can just hang around. Spring will come again. But winter will come too, again. We must put our hope in something bigger than America. Muslims' hope is supposed to be in the Word of God. Our hope is in Allah. Our hope is in what He revealed, the Quran. Our hope is in the life that was demonstrated to us by His prophet, His messenger, Muhammad, the last messenger of God. That's where our hope is. Muslims, don't forget where your hope is, and work on keeping your identity. Muslims must work on keeping the Muslim identity. You know, things may be created or produced and a label put on them that truly identify what has been produced or created. But if those things are perishable, in time the contents won't be true to the label unless you find a way to preserve it as it was made, created, or produced. Human beings, our life, because we have this freedom to conform or to not conform, to obey or to disobey, we have this freedom. And the society that we live in encourages sometimes too much freedom and immoral freedom. And we find ourselves, without knowing it, losing the original content of our lives. However, we continue to identify as we identified when the contents were correct. Muslims may call themselves Muslims long after they have lost their Muslim lives. They still call themselves Muslims. And we are happy to say we are Muslims. But often, the Muslim life has been left behind long time ago. So we have to live true to our identity, true to our contents. If we don't, we're going to lose the life. Keep identity before you and keep the true meaning of identity before you. Not just as a name, because names are just in the air. Unless you can grasp the full meaning that that name represents, or the full meaning that that name connects us with. The name Muslim connects us with a meaning. Islam, or al-Islam as it's called in the Quran, or in Arabic language, connects us with a meaning. It's not guaranteed that we're going to keep the meaning unless we make an effort. We may have to make an effort to keep the meaning. The Muslim name is known also to Christian. They know, they say, oh yes, a Muslim. Yes, sure, we know what a Muslim is. But does a Christian know as much about a Muslim just by hearing a name as a Muslim who knows the meaning of Muslim from the text Quran and from the life of Muhammad the Prophet? No. Likewise, we identify as human beings. And many of us continue to call ourselves human long after we have lost the human content of our lives. We have to make an effort to keep the contents true to the labor, true to the label. And again, I'm, as you are, from the experience called the Black Muslim, and race pride, Black nationalism, I'm from that experience. And I know for a long time we were emphasizing the dignity of race. We were searching for identity, a comfortable term for the Black mental makeup. And by some happenings, we came to all call ourselves Black. And we used to remind ourselves of the necessity to live up to an image of ourselves that we were satisfied with. To live up to the quality of the race that we were aspiring to. To live up to the achievements of the race and the hopes of the race. We had these ideas. And we would remind each other that, brother, remember the race. Same thing happened. We lost the content. We continue to talk about race, and I'm sure there's strong race consciousness in Dallas now. But what about the contents? When we think of ourselves as a race, we think of ourselves more than as a Black, as a color. We have to think of more than just a color. In fact, the color is supposed to connect us with the broad meaning, with the whole meaning. When we say Black, we have to think of the people, the life of the people we call Black. That words should signal our attention, our minds, to the meaning, the whole meaning, for the people or the life of that people we call black. But when we get all charged up, confronting each other on issues that are explosive, we forget the content of life that we want for ourselves, and we're just carried, suspended with the definition, with the simple, shallow definition of race. That's what we have to avoid. And the same prescription we give for the Muslim to stick to his identity, for the human to stick to his identity, we give it to the race to stick to that identity. Recall the life you want for the race. Don't leave the life you want for the race. Keep the name, the symbol, in touch with the meaning you want for the race. And if the black will do that, if the brown will do that, if the white will do that, we'll have less problems. But I'm sure many whites, though they are not in a situation where they have to think of themselves so much as a white race, most of them will think of themselves as an ethnic body, a body with an origin back in Europe somewhere, Polish American, Irish American, and so on. But we are constantly put in situations where we have to think of ourselves simply as black. And most of us are not in a situation, in a favorable situation, where we can even kind of give more meaning to that, or put some more language to it and say black America. Many of us are in situations where it's not even comfortable for us to say black American. In fact, I heard nobody today say black American. And I'm sure that all day long you didn't hear anybody say black American. But you must understand, if you are going to be interested in preserving the race and advancing the race, whether it's the black man I'm talking to, or a white man I'm talking to, or a brown man I'm talking to, you must be interested in keeping the meaning of your life before you, keeping the label or the name with the content of that life you want. We used to think of ourselves when I was a boy as black people. We called ourselves Negroes. The followers of the Temple of Islam called themselves so-called Negroes. So-called Negroes. Black people and so-called Negroes. Yes, the followers of Elijah Muhammad were calling themselves black long before it became popular in the United States of America. The black nationalists, many of them were calling themselves black long, long before that term became popular for us here in America. But we had different meaning. We had different meaning before us. The race name carried different meaning. The race name carried a broader meaning. Most of us now, when we say black, we have been conditioned to think of black in contrast with white. Yeah, I'm black. We mean we're not white. We don't mean we came from Africa. When we say black, we are not saying we came from Africa. For the average one today, not all of you, but for the average one today, when we say black, we are not saying we came from Africa. When we say black, we are not saying we are a product of the slave parents. who sacrificed and suffered, that their children will have a better situation in America. We don't tie into our forefathers on this continent when we say black. We are not consciously tying into them. We are not consciously tying into Africa. We are not consciously tying into the progressive-minded, hard-working, sacrificing forefathers of ours. No, we are not. We are simply responding to this race thing. We say we are black, meaning we are not white. We say we are black, meaning we are oppressed. We say we are black, meaning we are denied. We say we are black, meaning we don't have what other people have. We have to stop thinking like that. Stop thinking like that. Allah, our Lord, says in the Holy Book, "Laysa lil-insan illa ma sa'a." There can be nothing for the human person without him struggling and striving for it. So don't get caught in a situation where you cry the blues. I don't care what kind of situation it is. It can be a situation where you are denied economically, where you're denied politically, where you're denied socially. I don't care what situation it is. Don't fall into the pool of the blues. And understand that the best resources to get you out of that situation is God and your private and personal relationship with that God. For Allah tells us and the Prophet has taught us that there is nothing separating the suffering person from his Lord when he calls on him. No partition between you and God. If you're in trouble, if you're being treated unjustly, if you're being oppressed, if you're being wronged, our religion says there is no partition, nothing blocking your access to your God. Turn to your God and then exert yourself, go forward, and don't cry the blues. Let the weaklings cry the blues. You be their brother. You be their big brother. Huh? Hold true to the identity. You know, well, I'm saying this in this way, but there are many people I've read now for many years, people trying to address the problem that we have in this modern society. And many have told us to don't forget meaning. Don't be separated from real meaning. Life is fast-paced. Language is constantly changing. And no words are charged more than racial terms. Black, white, these are strong charged words. They make you drunk. They intoxicate you. They take your feet off the ground. They send you running in the air. You know? So we don't want that. We don't want that. And they call me a lot of things. No one have called me an Uncle Tom yet. They say, oh, he's too conservative. He's too low-key. He's too peaceful. He's too agreeable. But no one has called me an Uncle Tom yet. And I don't think I'll ever be called an Uncle Tom by a sane black man. Now, going from those big pictures, let's see, can we focus in on the smaller picture? The family. Family should have meaning. When a Christian man says family, it should bring a meaning to him. When a Jewish man says a family, it brings a meaning. When a Muslim man says a family, it brings a meaning. Now, we can lose identity. We can lose identity if we get away from the real meaning. Pretty soon we'll find ourselves saying we are Muslim family, but not being true to the content of Muslim family life.
So we have to have a recourse. We have to think back, reflect. We have to go and pick the book off the shelf and pick it up and read it. The Quran, the life of Muhammad the Prophet, how he treated the subject of family relations, how God in his holy book treats the subject of family relations, what we have been motivated to do as family people, what roles we have in the family life that God assigned to us, what responsibilities attached to a Muslim who's a father, attached to a Muslim who's a son, to a Muslim who's the daughter, to a Muslim who's the mother, to a Muslim who's a part of a family, a Muslim family. We have to be in touch with our great reservoir of knowledge, the Quran and life of Muhammad, with the great works of our great scholars, our honorable and upright scholars, from the time of Muhammad till now. Be in touch with something that can keep us in touch with the true meaning, so we don't just have a name that is a shell, a name that is nothing, a name without content. We are not going to have anything worthwhile unless we work for it. We have to work for God's love. We have to work for God's protection. He's most merciful. He will put up with us long after we have given up on each other. Yes, his mercy is divine. Our mercy is human. But even his mercy runs out. If you continue to ignore him and forget about him, you just take everything for granted, pretty soon his mercy runs out. And you find yourself in a situation where you feel totally alone, in the grips of hell itself, at the mercy of the Satan, the devil himself. And you say, how did I get in this shape? Think back. You forgot something. You left some meaning. And you're just carrying a name. So let us hold true to the real family life of a Muslim. And let us hope that Christians will keep the real family life of a true Christian. And that the Jew will have the best of what is a Jewish family life. As long as we in our private quarters work for the true content of life, we don't have much to worry about in the big circle. No, if we are good Muslim families, we are going to be good citizens of America. If a Jew lives in a court, lives up to the excellence of his Jewish teaching, if he becomes a good Jewish family, if he has a good Jewish family, then he and his family is going to be a credit to America. Likewise for the Christian, likewise for all of us, for the Buddhist, likewise for all of us who have these religions. If we live up to the excellence of our religion, if we live true to the content of our lives, then we are going to be good citizens, whether we are in America or in Russia or in China or in the Middle East or in Africa, anywhere. We are going to be a credit to any environment we put in if we live up to the excellence of the life we profess to believe in. So we got a job to do. We can't enjoy the benefits of God's graces. We can't be happy and thrive and prosper without doing some work. We have to work at keeping the content of life true. And don't let it become false. Live up to the true meaning of the name you profess. You say you're Muslim, live up to the whole meaning of the name. Allah's desire is not to make our life difficult for us, so he says in the Holy Book. But his desire is that we be clean, is that we be honorable, that we be purified. His desire is that we be purified, not that we be in any difficulty. But that's the difficulty, isn't it? For most of us, that's the difficulty. Working to keep our lives wholesome, morally, rationally, working to keep the moral
health and rational balance of our life is difficult for most of us in these circumstances. You have to turn to a bigger help than you can get from each other. We can help each other, but we can only do so much. You have to also have a bigger helper available to you. Don't underestimate the power of God, the power of prayer. Don't underestimate it. The religious people who are true in their religion, they know the power of God. They know the power of prayer. You don't find them unraveling, going nuts. No. They got something to keep their life intact. That's God. Faith.